Another data set from the ASCO meeting that really got a lot of attention was actually something that you presented, which was from the BRIGHT tumor registry. Can you talk a little bit about what you looked at, what you saw, and where we're heading?
The BRIGHT registry was founded at the time point when bevacizumab became approved in February of 2004 as a component of treatment for first-line colorectal cancer. And later, the approval was kind of extended to second-line colorectal cancer. But it was clear that at the time when bevacizumab became approved, we had very limited clinical experience with this drug. I mean, we had this one trial, a pivotal trial presented by Herb Hurwitz. And we found certain toxicities like GI perforation and later arterial thrombotic events, which affected only a small number of patients. So the idea of this BRIGHT registry was to get information on a larger number of patients. Eventually, it was 1,953 patients enrolled in a more real-life setting. So oncologists who use bevacizumab in combination with whatever chemotherapy regimen they deemed appropriate documented the clinical course of their patients over a long time, actually. We really have a very nice database on these patients. So now we have 1,953 patients who are treated in real life, and treatment decisions along the road are being done by the investigators, by the physicians out there, and it's not a randomized clinical trial. So at the time point when patients experience their first progression on therapy, some investigators continued bevacizumab and some investigators did not continue bevacizumab in combination with a different treatment regimen. And they continued to document the outcome and progressive disease and overall survival data along the BRIGHT registry. So now we have about, of these 1,953 patients, we have about 1,450 patients who had experienced progressive disease. And some group of patients did not receive any further therapy. They were too poor of a performance status to continue therapy. Some patients continued therapy without bevacizumab, and some patients continued bevacizumab in combination with other chemotherapy. So again, this is a non-randomized setting, but we can try to compare, and that's what we did in this BRIGHT analysis, the outcome for patients who continued bevacizumab and who did not continue bevacizumab. And the effects of therapy, continuation of bevacizumab, were actually quite profound because patients who did continue bevacizumab lived significantly longer. Actually, I wouldn't say significantly because we're not talking about a randomized trial, but had a remarkable longer overall survival than those patients who did not receive bevacizumab. Now, this can be related to the very fact that physicians made a decision to continue bevacizumab for better patients, meaning patients who were in better performance status, who had experienced better response on prior therapy. Having said that, we tried to account for all these factors in multivariate analysis, taking into account factors like age, performance status, number of metastatic sites, some laboratory values which we had, outcome of first-line therapy, duration of first-line therapy, and all these things. And still, the continuation of bevacizumab beyond progression turned out to be a significant factor in this analysis. Again, a non-randomized registry observational trial with prospectively collected data. So it's not a retrospective analysis. We really captured these events prospectively. But of course, if this is such a profound effect, and we're talking about a difference from 31-month overall survival to 19-month overall survival, so 1 year difference in overall survival, if this effect is really that profound, we need to validate it in a prospective clinical trial.